This is Real Ghost Stories Online, Halloween 2018 edition. And we are live tonight taking your calls at 216-446-7810. Call in your ghost stories live and you will hear them and discuss them live on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski, live for you for Halloween.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us live tonight. And every time I talk,
you feel the need to cough.
Can you tell I'm choking
just
over here?
Just a little bit.
I was doing the intro. I'm like, keep going. You can do it. I think I can. I think I can. And that's Thomas, isn't it? It's some childhood something. Is that Thomas? I think I can. What is
the
that?
The little engine that could.
What is that, like little golden book or what?
Yeah,
is
I
that?
I think it's a little golden book. Pretty sure.
What the hell ever happened to that thing? The little engine that could. I mean, that could have been just as big as Thomas.
I don't know.
Somebody really dropped the ball.
Have to put creepy faces on trains and make them talk for them to take off in popularity.
Children like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chuggington, that's the more modern. That's the Zephyr train, right?
The Zephyr train?
That's like what we have in town here.
Yeah.
That's Chuggington. Yeah. Yeah. He's not creepy. He's just more modern looking.
Mm-hmm.
If you will. happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to the program. I am, as we speak, posting this out to everybody on all of our Facebook pages, our Facebook groups, and everything else. And I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't mind doing the exact same thing for us. Post it out to wherever you use social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, anything, any groups that you're a part of that talk about the paranormal. That helps everybody know that we are doing this thing live. And then in turn, helps us get a lot more great stories into the show tonight. Phone lines are open at 216-446-7810. I am medicating my throat tonight with a mixture of lemongrass tea and rye whiskey. Hopefully one of the two does the trick for us here. So welcome, everybody. And if you don't mind sharing this on your, like I just said, when you share it, if you do a hashtag of Ghost Podcast on it, or if I can just catch it through Facebook, at the end of this thing tomorrow, I'll go through all the shares and someone will win. Here it is. One of these. A spirit flask.
And who doesn't need one just in time for the holidays?
Jenny carries three of these in her purse.
No.
She has like a different flavor.
No.
You can like make, she's like, almost like a full bar.
Like pumpkin spice whiskey.
She can sit there and like make you a mixed drink at the library. Yeah, if.
The library.
The last time you were at the library. So anyway. We had a call, but they left.
Uh-oh.
I was just about to go to them at 360. So if you want to call back 360, we'll get to you. But 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. Would love to hear from you. I'm just going to move my mic over here so it's easier. Otherwise, you're like, you're not there on camera.
I don't mind at all.
So we did trick-or-treating tonight.
We did.
In the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And at first we were like, what are we going to do with this trick-or-treating conundrum? Because, I mean, you know, it's easy as an adult, I think, to be like, well, you know, there's always next year. But there really isn't, to a certain extent. There's only so many years you truly have for trick-or-treating.
Libby's 11. She's about to turn 12 in a month. Or not a month, a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the places that do it publicly, because, you know, there's neighborhoods that participate, there's neighborhoods that don't.
Yeah.
So there's public places where you can go trick-or-treat. They say 12's the cutoff. So it's like, this is really her last year to trick-or-treat. I think technically she can get away with it one more Halloween. But we're at the end of that. But now begins watching the movies that are not ghostly scary, because I can't handle those, mm-hmm. but like we watched Halloween and she was like, this is awesome. And she wanted to watch like 2 and 3 and go see the new one. And
which is kind of funny because I remember watching Night of the Living Dead uh-huh. when I was little. That was the, I think one of the first years where it was coming almost like, okay, you're getting almost too old to do the trick-or-treating thing. And we did that. And I laughed at it the whole time. And you said that she was laughing at Halloween the other night.
She was. She was making, like, side comments, you know, mm-hmm. because there's parts that are just... The whole thing can be pretty cornball, but there's parts that are just, like, she adds in her ad lib, and it's funny.
It's weird to me to think that kids are going to look at a movie like that and think it's corny.
God.
Because it was scary.
I looked under my bed every night for like a month after seeing that for the first time. And yeah. I was her age. So.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Caller at 360. You know, I'm going to go to you first. Caller at 814. Hang on the line. We're going to get to you second. So let's jump over to caller at 360. You're the first one to call into the program this evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Travis from Washington State.
Hey, Travis. Welcome to the program. You got a ghost story for us this Halloween night?
Well, of course. I'm a paranormal investigator here. Right. And got a little short story here. We have a giant cemetery here in town called Bayview Cemetery. And there is a big gravestone they call the deathbed. Now, the legend about it is if you lay on it, it's supposed to take years off your life. Okay. I never really believed in it, and so I laid on it. And automatically started feeling a sinking feeling on the deathbed. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend at the time...
Sinking feeling. Extrapolate on that a little bit more for us. Like, what were you feeling exactly?
Well, it's got four pillars. It's a concrete slab on top, and it almost felt like I was sinking into the concrete slab.
Okay.
And so my girlfriend at the time was holding my hand, and she said that she could feel an energy flowing from me into her hand, which I could feel. It was really, really quite weird, you know?
Sure.
And so I decided to, was going to climb off of it because I wasn't feeling comfortable on it, of course. So I got to the edge and was going to drop straight down. Just to get off. And just about the time that I was going to slide off, I felt a pair of hands on my back, and it actually pushed me off, and I actually crashed into another headstone with my knee.
Ow.
What was going through your mind at that point when you're feeling that? I mean, I obviously you knew the legend, you knew the story, but what was going through your mind when it was happening at that exact moment?
I was more surprised than anything, you know. And the funny thing about it is my co-founder of my group was doing an EVP session, and about the time that I fell off and hit, we caught an EVP of a man laughing.
Oh, God. What do you think it goes back to? Is it the man in the grave? Is it something else that's in the area? What do you attribute it to?
Yeah, I believe it was the man, because originally there it was supposed to have buried, and she never was.
So it's kind of a madness thing. It's a make this happen. Do you know where the wife is buried?
I do not. Honestly, there's no record of it.
Interesting. Wow. That's a scary story.
That is scary.
We should go to that graveyard sometime just for a family vacation and let all the kids lay on it, and they could make some really fun color, right. Watercolor paintings.
I'll have to send you a couple pictures of it.
I'd love to see that. Yeah. Yeah. Do email that to me, Tony at Real Ghost Story Online. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, will do for sure.
Thanks for calling that story into us tonight, and happy Halloween. Really do appreciate you calling in tonight. So we're going to call her at 814, and the number, by the way, everyone, is 216-GHOST-10, 216-446-7810. I saw some folks on YouTube for the number because we don't have the little bar up on YouTube, but there you go. 216-446-7810. Caller at 814. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Paul from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Paul. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Happy Halloween. This is a fun streaming for tonight. Looking forward to it.
Well, welcome to the show. Do you have a ghost story for us?
I do, but it's not as scary as the last one. It's actually kind of, we'll call it light. So my wife and I bought a house, it'd be now about 4 years ago. And we bought a house, the house was built in 1970. And we never really thought of anything that didn't have a paranormal, anything for being kind of a relatively new house. We were doing some refurbishing to it before we formally moved in. And one evening when we were doing some repairs, there's a really old, like one of those kind of like Cincy 1960s chandeliers that were in the hallway of some kind of older houses. Mm-hmm. I saw the chandelier move, and what it did was it rocked, kind of like a sea dragon. It hit the ceiling, it went to the other side, and then just stopped, very just like unnatural. And I was like, whoa, what was up with that? And then I heard this kind of creaking in the back room. Now, this isn't like my first paranormal experience, so I kind of like spoke to it, and I felt like kind of the energy dissipated. So that was the only thing that happened while we were working on the house. Then we would have incidences of hearing someone while we were relaxing in the basement where our TV's at, we'd hear people walking in the hallway really consistently. And we were really kind of freaked out by that. What was really bizarre was when we had our son, one of those baby monitor cameras, every night would move 90 degrees or wherever it needed to be to go from my child in the crib to the window. Every like 2 or 3 nights, it would consistently do it. And we'd move it, we would attach it, we'd tape it. We at one time taped it to the dresser. Next morning, window. And so it really kind of got bizarre. How it slowed down was my mother-in-law was watching my son one night, and we were on a date, and she heard the footsteps in the hallway, and she yelled at it. And it basically calmed down since then. Really haven't had a real experience since then. It's just one of those things where, like, maybe we kind of told it that, moved in this house, we're not going anywhere, but whatever it was, it's just kind of weird that her yelling at it made it stop.
Is your mother-in-law astrologist or something that you're unaware of?
Last time I checked, no.
Since, they...
As a matter of fact, what's really funny is she's a very scientific person. She's a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would have thought of her as, someone who really believed in the paranormal to that extent. But for her to be so frustrated, she yells at it at work. That's pretty interesting.
I would be scared as hell of her as well. If she's able to get like ghosts to go away or whatever the heck is going on, they're scared of them, are you scared of her?
I'm really not that scared. I've had a couple experiences previously. A really weird one was my family's cottage. My great grandmother passed away there when she was in her late 90s, and I remember 3 specific times I saw this like shadow go from side of the hallway to another, basically from one end to the other. And what was really weird, what really made me know, is my grandmother was smelled a perfume. Mm-hmm. And it basically like moved into the room. You could like smell the perfume just extremely distinctly.
Yeah.
And all of her stuff has been moved out for years. And it's just one of the things where it's like, okay, that's good grandma. Yeah, I got one other quick one, but before my mother-in-law yelled at the ghost, The ghost would move my wedding ring.
Huh.
Now, this one's really weird. So, I usually take my ring off for, dishes, cooking dinner, mowing the lawn, stuff like that. And my ring would disappear. And this happened 3 separate times. My ring would disappear, and the next day, it would be at the front of the front corner of the dining room table every single time. And the first time, I was like, huh, didn't remember, you know, I don't remember putting it there. Okay, good, right? Second time, I was like, wait a second. And then the third time, I was actually specifically checking on it every couple hours. And it wasn't until I was putting laundry downstairs that I heard a movement upstairs. And when I checked, there it is. Which is just bizarre.
That's interesting. I still want to know what your mother-in-law yelled at the ghost.
Like, I never got the whole quote. Like, it must have been interesting.
What was the convincing argument there to make the ghost leave?
That's cool. I don't think it left. I think it just calmed down.
That's my guess. I mean, I still feel like there's a presence there, but it's nothing like malicious or anything that. So I personally am not, you know, worried.
It's more so like a human spirit where someone like almost reasoned with it or threatened it. And it was like, okay, you got it. Okay. As if it were in real life, it probably would also have had the same sort of reaction.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you for calling that in and sharing those experiences with us. Really do appreciate it. And happy Halloween.
Yeah. Happy Halloween. Take care. Good night.
All right. Good night. Let's go to a caller at 661. Caller at 623 and 828. Hang on the line. You guys are next in queue. What's your name at 661 and where are you calling from?
My name is Heather. I've actually called a couple times before. And I'm currently in Texas, just sitting in the rain.
All right.
I actually have a question. Yeah, right. I actually have a question about the previous caller. Did his mother-in-law perhaps had a chancla in her hand as well? Because as far as I know, that will scare anything. So
he's gone, so your guess is as good as mine.
So basically, I actually have a couple of stories.
Okay.
One of them, I'll start off with, I was actually on the talking with my cousin. She's sensitive as well. She's more sensitive than I am. But, so we were actually using this, walkie-talkie app. It was very popular a few years back. And, while we were doing it, I heard a sound kind of like a water trickling, right by my ear. And I was like, wait, what was that? I replayed the audio that I sent over to my cousin, and I heard it in the audio. So she actually heard what it was saying, because that's what she can understand. Basically, it got to the point where she called me up and was starting to talk on the phone. And all of a sudden, I was while she was talking on the phone, she was actually starting to kind of communicate with it over the phone. but while that was happening, basically, as she was talking, I could feel my entire body start getting this tingling sensation. I've explained before, like kind of like how it would be if your foot was asleep. Like that kind of tingly sensation, but it wasn't bad. It was nothing negative at all. It was actually quite positive. And basically, what was happening is that she and whatever it was talking back and forth to each other. And I'm here walking around the house. I'm just feeling this tingling sensation. And eventually, she was finished with the conversation. Next thing I know, just kind of just sucked right up out of me. And so basically what it was doing was, or what we figured was what it was doing was basically using me as a, like a little power pack. Using my energy to go ahead and communicate. But it cracked me up, because it's like, well, the last thing I would ever expect for to ever happen is somebody to have a, you know, like full on conversation with a ghost over the phone. So that one made me laugh. And then another one, I was actually ghost hunting a location in my hometown. And there's these two houses. They're historical houses that were moved into a park. And we went on ahead and was able to kind of calm the, quote-unquote, calm the security guards, saying, hey, we're doing a school project. Can we go ahead and research it? And I guess he believed us, so we just waltzed right on in and started investigating. While I was going around this one house, while we couldn't go inside, we were able to look in the windows and whatnot. And the first house, I was going around, and I went on ahead and started filming with my camcorder. And pretty much I was looking in through the windows and whatnot. I was talking, and from there, I was just like saying, you know, show me a sign that, you know, you're here. You know, the stereotypical question. Next thing I know, my camera's showing me the, you know, that the battery needs to be changed. A brand new camcorder, brand new camera, or a brand new battery. I just finished charging it. I mean, it was fresh and ready to go. And it just suddenly just dropped and was telling me that it was needing changing already. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I go ahead and I had to walk away from that area to get a new battery. And then as soon as I got probably maybe about 10 feet away from the door, then my battery came back. And it showed that I was at full battery. So I'm like, oh, well, okay. So I go around, and I start going to this this other window. And I knocked on this one window, and I was just standing there, because I'm like, you know what, I just had to knock. So I knocked on the window. And not even 2 seconds later, I heard a little tap, tap, tap right on the glass. Like, it was not a hard tap, but it was just a little light. And it's already known by the locals that that place is haunted by three separate ghosts. One of them, the former owner of the house, after a suicide. And then the other two... one's a child, the other one is basically just a lone guy that nobody knows where he came from. He just came. But the second house, when we were going around that, it was reported to be basically the site for a paranormal vortex, because apparently, it went on ahead and across the certain ley lines and whatnot. But so we were going around. My cousin was feeling, and she felt. She just put her hand on the door, and she was like, "Oh yeah, you know, it's really charged." So we were going around the house again, and I found one window that I can that I was able to go ahead and take a picture in with a camera that I had, and I went on ahead, took a picture inside, and all I got was white. So I'm thinking that, you know what, something's probably wrong with the camera, so I take pictures in other directions. It's just fine. Took a picture in through another window. It was just fine. But then I went back to that one window, and it did the same thing over again. But it wasn't just a flat white. It was more textured. So when we're going around, my cousin, she starts feeling things around, and she's like, you know, there's a lot of spirits around here. They're going all over the place. And so we go ahead and go back home. We're looking at through the pictures. We didn't catch much other than the white photos, but not probably about a week later, my camera, everything just disappeared. And
It clearly had some sort of a hold, like on your equipment of some sort. It's very bizarre to hear, you know, that all the equipment, you lost the photos. And what was most interesting to me about that story is the fact where the camera battery dies.
But then it came back.
And it comes back. And that's not, like, very common with things like that. That's something that doesn't really... usually it's dead, it's dead.
Yeah.
And that's really, really interesting. Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us tonight. Really do appreciate that. Let's go to a caller at 623. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller at 623. Are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Okay. I don't hear anybody. A caller at 623. Let's go over to a caller at 828. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Joel.
Hey, Joe. Got a story for us. What's your name? Where were you calling? Joe, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Marion, North Carolina.
Okay. Let's hear your story.
Okay. I wrote this in to you a while back, several years ago, but I probably didn't write it as good as I could tell it. So it was probably 5 years ago. We went to, me and my family went to Braxton, West Virginia. And we get up there, and it's a pretty creepy place. And feeling some bad vibes, but I was. But the kids and my wife weren't, and we were enjoying the fall foliage and everything. And go back out, and whenever we're driving down the road, my wife, who no background in any sort of religion or anything, she didn't grow up in church or anything like that, she witnesses something right in front of our car, passed across the road that was dark, tall, and black. It was at dusk, and as it was crossing the road, she looked at me, and I was driving, and she said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "No, I didn't see nothing. What are you talking about?" And she said, "You did not see that just cross the road." And here I am wanting to see something. I've always been the one who wanted to see something like this. She doesn't get into the ghost shows, the podcast, or anything like that. I listen to them constantly, your show and anything on TV. And I see nothing. And she is just totally freaked out. And we actually drive back that night because I know how upset she was from it, about 6 hours back into North Carolina from West Virginia at the cabin that we were staying in.
Okay.
Did we lose him?
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Continue on.
And that was pretty much it. I mean, I seen nothing, one and two. I had creepy vibes the whole time. No one else did. But then when we were going back out, it was just a totally, I could tell that she was completely shook by the whole experience.
Did she?
And I seen nothing.
I mean, did she expound upon to you like what she thought was going on? I mean, what was the reaction?
Yes. Actually what it was is at that time of day, the cabin that we got, the person that told us that we got it from told us that it, you know, you go out around dusk and in that part of West Virginia that, you could go out at dusk and all the deers come out of the tree line and they feed in the yards, the very small yards that are up there. In the grass and everything. So we went out at that time and we were seeing the deer everywhere and it was great. So we were just riding down this one lane road basically. And I was driving and looking straight ahead, and so was she. And she just like froze up, turned white, and I'm like, "What's?" I knew something was wrong without her saying anything. And I said, "You know, what's wrong?" And she said, "You didn't see that?" I said, "No, I didn't see anything. What are you talking about?" I thought she was talking about the deer or such, but
Do you think
it wasn't? It was something totally different. She said it was tall, it was black, it was slim. I said, mm-hmm. I was joking, so I seen Bigfoot.
Sure.
She said, no, this was slim, this was tall, and it crossed the road in a matter of less than seconds.
Does she have, do you think, an ability to see some things that you don't see?
No, because nothing before or nothing since. I ask her about that, and she doesn't want to talk about it to this day. And that's been probably 5 or 6 years ago. And there's nothing before or nothing since. And it's just one of those things that's very, very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
I almost wonder if it was a shadow person.
Yeah.
You know, and if somebody's not as into, you know, the paranormal, like you sound like you're the one that listens to the show and maybe have more of an interest than she does, she might not realize that that, in fact, is a type of paranormal entity. Mm-hmm. And just the not knowing what it is can be scary enough, let alone telling her, hey, you actually saw a ghost. That could be too much.
Almost like letting her listen to the show a little bit or asking her to try and listen to the show may make it a little more approachable and open up some of the hesitation with her as far as realizing there's a lot of other people out there who have been through things like this. She's not alone. She's not crazy. It's just these things happen. And obviously you can probably try and tell her that, but sometimes it may need like more of that community for her to realize that.
Yeah. But, because even since that happened till now, I mean, she knows something happened. Yeah. Because whenever you mention it to her, she just shuts down. She just like, no, I don't want to talk about that.
It's probably, you know, shame. It's probably anxiety. It's probably, you know, not realizing there's other people out there that are experiencing these things. And that seems to be the biggest thing that we hear on this show is just the release, the therapeutic feeling of, oh my God, I'm not alone. Other people have been through this. So, I mean, it may not be just the easiest thing of, hey, listen to the show, you'll feel better. But, you know, I mean, listen to it around her a little bit or something. Maybe that will help, you know, kind of ease her in and help her feel a little bit better about that situation. Thanks for calling and sharing that experience with us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Let's go to caller at 770. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Cleveland, Georgia.
What's your name? What's your name?
You there?
I am here. What's your name?
Tony.
Listen on the phone. Don't listen on the the stream.
I'm sorry. Hey, it's Craig and Sylvia. Happy Halloween.
Happy
we love your show.
Well, hi, guys.
Hey, Craig and Sylvia, welcome to the program. You got a story for us?
No, just wanted to say happy Halloween. We love you guys, and God bless.
Well, we need a story, damn it.
No. Calling in before when I was on.
I know,
so happy Halloween to you too.
I'm choking because I'm laughing.
Hey, can I get a flask?
He wants a flask.
Are you?
Anyway, we love you guys. We love you guys.
Well,
and we'll continue to support you.
Thank you so
love
much.
Love you and all right, man. Take care.
While you're on the line, best Halloween candy. What's your favorite?
Oh man, that's tough.
You gotta pick one.
Reese's Pieces, I guess.
Reese's Pieces.
Jenny?
That's what the girls there. The girls came home with that the most. I was very disappointed to see the measly one or two pieces of Butterfinger that came home. Because that's what I steal from them. I steal the Butterfinger. And it's like, now I just don't even care.
You'll be 100% caught if you steal the one Butterfinger.
You cannot pick just one. You can't pick just one. You know that.
I know that.
Can't lay a finger on my Butterfinger, as Bart Simpson would say.
Bottom line, But love y'all. Love y'all. Love the show.
We love you too. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for supporting the program. We do greatly appreciate it. And of course, he was talking about the Spirit Flask, which is this thing right here. And if you are a yearly EPP, you can get it upon your renewal date. Or if you're a monthly EPP right now, sign up for the yearly subscription. You can upgrade at any time. And then you will get this as well. But you have to let me know you upgraded. You have to shoot me an email, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com. And then I'll get you on the next shipment here when you become a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. We still have a handful of bunk bed bells left, too. So
I bet the post office is glad you're about done with that.
I was like freaking out the other day because I was starting to get ready to send some of these things out. And I...
I know where you're going with this.
You're going to start coughing.
I am.
You want the inhaler? You want to take a hit?
No.
But the other day, I literally said to you, and I'm not trying to make light of a very dark situation, but I thought, oh, I'm glad I didn't go to the post office and mail a bunch of flasks today.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's metal. It's, you know, it could be mistaken for something else. So I'm just kind of like... And I wasn't planning on doing it. My plan, I tend to do these about every 2 or 3 months. I get everybody who signed up and do one big giant shipment and get it all out there about every 90 days. And we're at about 60 or so right now since the introduction of the Spirit Flask. But yeah, I could have seen me showing up to the post office and being arrested. And then like, what happened? I was just trying to mail flasks for ghost stories. Yeah, that won't be a weird.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
But it kind of is.
But it would have been a weird moment. It would have been like, oh, how do you... Because they're always looking at me like weird. Like, I bring the big... I literally come in with a giant box of bells in the manila envelopes. The same size of the manila envelopes that were on...
And it all jingles when you walk in like you're Santa Claus or some kind of
shit. You walk in these metal objects in a manila envelope. The same size of the bomber envelopes.
Yeah, that's not good.
And it's just like... It's laziness, I guess, on my part, but I don't put return addresses on them.
Oh God, Tony.
Well, I don't. I print off the address of where it's going, and I trust the postal service to get the bells there. And I guess I could. It's just like that's another step. That's take
so.
Literally every time I do a shipment, it's about a 4 to 5 hour process.
To make sure you're not on a list, I'm gonna have to put. The return address on all those flasks.
We'll get like some fun ones with like squirrels or something on the side or like a little rose or something of that nature and put it up there. But, I don't put tracking number there anymore because it's like, there's so many steps just to mail something. And it's like, it goes, they get it, I'm good. And if I need to resend, what if somebody says it didn't show up? Okay, I'll resend it to you. Not a big deal. That extra $5 is much more, I'm fine with that versus all the extra hour it's going to take to put every label and then track it. It's a lot of work.
I know.
It is a lot of work. But there you go. If you want a Spirit Flask or a bunk bed bell, you can still get one signing up at ghostpodcast.com for a yearly EPP membership. So tonight we had a trick-or-treating in the rain.
Yeah, you were the cool dad that kept getting out with the kids, and I was the mom
dry
in the
mom.
Car. I was driving you from house to house in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would have been better if you're like in a big white van or something. That would have been really cool.
Right. With a puppy and extra candy.
I think we're the only ones in our neighborhood trick-or-treating tonight. Normally there's like a lot of kids around, but it was a good downpour going on. So we were the only ones out there. Okay, so going back to the candy discussion that we were talking about before, and by the way, if you want to get a ghost story in, this is your last call to do it at 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to call in your ghost story. We were talking about our favorite candies. Is Butterfinger your favorite? Is that if you were going around as a child and you said, I want... 80% of my bag to be this candy when you were 12 or 10-year-old Jenny.
No.
What would it have been back then?
No, 10-year-old Jenny had a lot of Halloweens where either, because we lived so far out in the country, there was no trick-or-treating like in a neighborhood. We had to go to town. And if it was too cold or too wet or whatever.
Did you ever get to go trick-or-treating?
not in my neighborhood. I did as a kid. I went trick or treating. We had safe Halloween where you go to businesses.
Well, other than the nursing home that you had the tragic experience.
Okay, at. That was when I was very little.
Okay.
I did get to go trick or treating, but once we moved to Kansas, trick or treating was off, and so we would go and get two bags of whatever we wanted.
Okay.
So it was always the Twizzlers and I think the Hershey Minis.
Okay.
But it was as an adult that Butterfinger kind of became my thing. And like, I've always loved Butterfinger, like in a blizzard.
Sure.
But I still gravitate towards Twizzlers.
Okay. So that would be what you would get.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the 10-year-old me would have picked Heath and probably Butterfinger. Mm-hmm. I do like the Reese's, not the pieces.
Yeah.
But the cups.
What about the Reese's cups with the pieces in it? That's a new thing, and that's just...
I've never tried that yet.
Okay. I know one of our kids has some of those, and yeah.
I'll go steal those as soon as we're done with the show and say, no, you never had that, honey. No, I don't know what you're talking about. But I always thought the Reese's were the best, the whole cup, the big ones, not the minis, because it was literally half the size of a full candy bar pack, because the candy bar pack, you get two of them in.
Sure.
It's like, well, this is as close as you're going to get to a full pack.
I like the minis.
Let's
steal them easier.
Let's go to a caller at 92. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sierra from Yuma, Arizona.
Hey, Sierra. Welcome to the program. Let's hear your story.
So I was just wanting to call in a story since it's Halloween about my daughter. She had seen a little girl ghost in the middle of the night. She said... It was probably a couple months back. She was asleep. When she woke up in the middle of the night, she opened her eyes and she said she saw a little girl watching her. She was pretty scared. She didn't really know what to think of it because you guys talk about it all the time on the show. Kids don't know really what a ghost is.
Sure.
So it kind of freaked us. It kind of freaked out the adults in the house. Months later, probably a couple weeks later, my husband's at home by himself. He's doing his homework for school, and he hears like back room door, I guess, closed. Is they closed by themselves? Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
And then he hears disembodied screams every once in a while in our house. So I just thought I'd call and share that.
What did you do when she came to you with that story?
We were trying to make sense of what she thought she might have seen. We asked her what little girl looked like. She didn't describe anything scary. All we kind of told her was that it was a guardian angel watching her, because I asked her what she felt, and she didn't feel any kind of intimidation. She didn't really feel anything, so I just kind of told her that it was an angel watching her because I didn't want to scare her.
I actually had a similar type experience as a child from the little girl point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up one morning and it was way before my parents were ready for me to wake up. I was pretty little. And when I woke up, it was like this fog was floating over me. And just, I could see it and it was not huge, but the fog just kind of, it didn't give me an ominous feeling. And then it went straight through the wall to what would be my parents' room. And I don't know what happened after that. And I told my parents about that. And I said, you know, I saw this weird like fog thing and it felt like a kid. And I remember saying that and they're like, oh, okay. You were probably just dreaming. Well, as an adult, I found out eons later that, like, the next night, they saw a fog go, like, from my room through the wall, across the room, and then out the window. And they only saw it the once, and I only saw it the once. But it didn't feel ominous at all.
Timing-wise, was it around the same time then?
Yeah, it was, like, the next day they saw that. So I think they believed me then, but they weren't going to be like, oh, yeah, sweetie, actually, that for real was a ghost because we saw it too.
And really, I mean, you're looking back. I mean, there's a lot of things you look back and go, eh. But with that, I mean, would you have handled it much different, or how would you have handled it? You know, let's say it happens tomorrow and you get that report from one of our kids. How would you handle it?
I would have asked how it made them feel to know whether or not it was something ominous or maybe something watching over.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know that I would go ahead and say, oh, well, you probably saw a ghost, but I would kind of wait and see if there's any more evidence.
Sure.
But they never told me until I was an adult that for sure happened.
That there was something?
Yeah. So I thought I was nuts for like 20 years.
How did it make you feel when you found that out, when you found that there's some validation to that story?
Kind of like, well, I guess I'm not nuts. Thanks for letting me know.
All these years later.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't, as a parent, know how I would address that with one of my kids. So I kind of get it, but it was nice to get that validation, even though it was decades later.
It's a tough subject to handle with kids when they have those experiences. And what do
Definitely.
You do? You know, how do you handle that? Thank you for calling in and sharing your experience with us. We really do appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. You take care. It's going to be a caller at 484. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Jeremiah. I'm calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
All right, Jeremiah, you got a ghost story for us tonight?
Yes, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
It took place a few years ago. I moved into a new house, and when I saw him, my daughter kept telling me in her room that she was seeing a little boy come out of the bathroom and go down towards the steps.
Okay.
And so since it was a new house, I didn't want to get everybody scared. I just kind of like downplayed it a little bit, you know. So then my wife started telling me she saw the same little boy, you know. Same thing. I didn't want to get everybody else in the house scared. I kind of downplayed it. Well, I had a spot in the basement that was like a small finished room, kind of set up for like a studio. I had like the keyboard down, computer and stuff. So I'm down there. Now I have a daughter. At the time, she was only 6 or 7 years old. And she would always try to sneak up on me and come down the steps and scare me, you know. So one night I'm down there, out the corner of my eye, I see what I think is my daughter coming down, sneaking up on me, trying to scare me. And I seen it. Not only did I see it, but I kind of felt it. It came down the steps, zipping around the basement, and it came through the doorway up behind me and was like hiding up under the chair. So I thought I knew she was there. I turn around real quick. I'm like, ha, trying to scare her first, you know. And when I turned around, there was nobody there. So that freaked me out. I ran upstairs. I'm telling my wife, you know, where's Angelisa? Oh, she's upstairs in the shower. I'm like, no way. Like, I think I just seen what you guys were talking about, this ghost of this little boy, you know? So it was kind of freaky. And there was some other stuff that happened in that house after that. But that was like the start of the whole thing in that house.
Expound upon that then for us. The start of thing. What happened on that?
After that, it kind of calmed down for a while, which is, I noticed like the next year at the same time, it kind of started up again, where me and my son were down in the basement in the same spot, and I had a dartboard down there, and I was videotaping him playing the darts, and as I'm looking in my phone at the video that I'm taking, I see something come flying up onto the screen. So I kind of backed up a little bit, thinking it was like a bug or something flying around the basement, but I didn't see anything. It wasn't until the next day that I actually looked at the video, and I caught a video of an orb flying around on my phone, but I couldn't see it like with my eyes. I seen it through the phone. And when I started zooming in, it wasn't only one orb, it was two of them. It was going up the side of my screen and down and back around the other side. So I videotaped that orb, and I told my dad about it. He comes over, and he's like, is there any spirits in the house? Let yourself be known. I'm like, listen, don't do that here. I don't want to start that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start that, you know. And then like a week later, I'm at work, and my wife calls me on the phone. She's like, Jeremy, your daughter's acting very strange. I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, I was in the kitchen washing dishes, and she saw something come past my shoulder and go zipping out the window. And I was like, what? She's like, yes. I asked her what it was, and she said all she kept saying was blue dress, blue face. She's seen some kind of little girl walking through the kitchen out the window. But the freaky part about it was the girl wasn't walking on the ground. She was up in the air by the cabinets walking and like out the kitchen window. So she saw something weird that day. And then after that, we were all in the living room. This is like in the same 2-week period. We're all in the living room one night. Sorry. And we're watching TV, and we had a huge rice pot. I don't know how to explain it. It's probably about a foot, 2 feet by 2 feet wide. It was a big pot. It was pushed to the back of the stove, and we're all sitting there watching TV, and we hear this bang. We didn't know what it was. My first reaction was I thought somebody was trying to break into my back door. And so when I turn around and look, the first thing I see is my dog, which was in the kitchen. He wasn't allowed in the living room. He stood in the kitchen by the gate. And he was with his head turned, looking towards the back door. And so we get up to see what's going on. And the rice pot was pushed off the stove and laying underneath the kitchen table. It was like, there's no way it could have fell by itself. And it wasn't the dog, because the dog was laying down, turning around and looking like, what the heck just happened? You know?
It would take some force.
That's really... Yeah.
What does your gut tell you? I mean, do you have some questions, Jen?
Yeah, my question is not so much for you, but just in general. The quote-unquote same time next year ghosts, the one that show up at around the same time of the year every year, but then they're not there the rest of the time. What would you classify that as, Tony? Is that a type of residual ghost? I mean, I don't really know what to put that in, but we've heard that quite a bit, where they just around a significant date that, you know, maybe you'll later find out what that date meant, whatever, but it's not always like Halloween they show up or anything
yeah.
like that.
I mean, you have like different types of residuals, or sometimes you have where it's just going on day after day after day uh-huh. after day. Same. It's just like on loop yeah. all the time. And then you have some where it seems to be whatever cycles of energy with our atmosphere and everything seem to then re-trigger that, because it creates the same atmosphere as it was before. So that would be a form of residual. I mean, and you kind of understand that too. But just as a living person, when you go through life, sometimes you're like, damn, this feels like I was just here before. Tonight, when we were driving back from trick-or-treating, we were at the same stoplight at the same place getting back into our neighborhood. And it was rainy last year. Mm-hmm. It was rainy this year. And we were stopping right there by the highway. And we were last year going, shit, I think it's going to rain. We're in the middle of trick-or-treat very much in our neighborhood. And it was the exact same clouds, same atmosphere. It was that same everything. Everything yeah. was just exactly as it was 1 year prior. So I think that sometimes triggers these things to repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm curious with our caller here. I mean, what's your take on this? What do you think is going on?
Well, I mean, I don't live in that house anymore, but I think that what was going on there was just like the way you said, maybe something happened at that time of year, sometime in the past, and every single yeah. year it kind of reoccurs like an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
So whatever goes up there. Like the reason why I noticed that is because I lived in another house that had stuff going on in there too. Nothing really bad. But I noticed when I first moved in there, it was in November. We had weird things happen, and then it just stopped. And then the next year, it started up again, but it was around the same time of year where it just started getting cold. That's what I noticed. It was happening every year at the same time.
And something...
So, I mean, I don't
is something interesting with residual and just hauntings in general. We are entering this right now, and I've always kind of suspected this, but I had an interview yesterday with a demonologist, and we were talking about times of year and when things tend to spike up. And in his stuff, he says October to about March or so is pretty much high time. For this, it's not warm out. Everything's kind of condensed. Everything a little more shut up, and that's when he seems to see more things happen, not only in the demon world, but just in the world of hauntings in general.
So I have a question. I'm not yeah. trying to play devil's advocate intended, but I'm just curious. Is that is more so because people are indoors and they notice that in their environment they notice things being different? Because October to March is more so where you're starting to spend more time inside than outside, and I wonder, is it truly a spike in the activity, or is it just a spike in it being noticed?
I would say emotions are high and condensed
yeah
from now to Christmas. And then into January, you're kind of cooped up. So I think it's a high condensed emotional area.
That makes sense.
In homes. It's like a can.
It's cabin fever.
It is. It's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And you go from really big highs to really big lows really quick. And even for those who are not prone to do that, everyone has that. Mm-hmm. And it affects people differently. So you're kind of in the really, you know, the can of emotion area here for the year where you have, you know, the ups and downs very, very fast. So it only makes sense, though, on the other side, then, if there's the emotions that are going to repeat themselves, for that to be a highly condensed area for it to happen.
Sure.
So we're amongst the haunting season. We're kicking it off, everybody. We're going to do a little New Year's ball, right, or a ghost ball over here.
A skull that drops. Happy haunting.
Happy haunting season, everybody. And I'll dress up as Dick Clark. It'll be great.
That's not nice.
Which Dick Clark should I be? The one when he was...
No. Be nice.
So anyway, thank you for calling in and sharing that story. We really do appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
And happy Halloween. I had a comment here, or a question that was brought up to us earlier in the program. Halloween movies. And we're going to do two versions of this.
Okay.
Childhood and adult. So 10-year-old Jenny, and it can be the same answer if you want. What was your favorite Halloween movie at the time when you were 10 to watch?
When I was 10, yeah. Hocus Pocus was brand new, and it was awesome, and it's still, we watched it last night.
It's still your favorite to this day.
Still my favorite.
Okay, well, prior to Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Eight-year-old Jenny.
There was this old, weird 80s version of The Worst Witch, which Netflix has rebooted.
The Worst Witch. I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, and Netflix has rebooted it. I'm not sure if it's a movie or a series, but it's about a little girl that goes to witch school, very Harry Potter-ish.
Okay.
And she just doesn't quite fit in, and it's about her. But there was like this weird 80s version, and I loved that movie. I would watch it every year right before I got dressed to go out and go trick-or-treating. And it's so weird that I wouldn't probably get my girls I know probably be like, Mom, this is weird, but it was just one of those things I would always watch every year. I can't tell you what year it came out, but I know it's just one of those that's odd. The little girl in it was the one that played in Wizard of Oz 2 with the weird tin man and everything.
Oh, with the heads.
Same little girl.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite, I guess, as a kid. As an adult, I love the Halloween movies, like the Michael Myers Halloween movies, because I don't... It's so weird. We're doing a ghost Halloween show, but I don't like to watch ghostly Halloween shows. No. They freak me out too much. Mm-hmm. So I much rather watch a psychopathic killer.
It makes it so much better.
It does.
It just makes it... It makes it much more less realistic for a psychopathic killer versus zombies coming at you.
I know it makes no sense, but most of the things in my head make no sense, so it just feels right at home.
We were at trick-or-treating tonight. There was a great Michael Myers walking around.
He was awesome.
Tall guy and everything. And Libby was like, he has a great costume. And she even went up to him and said, you have a great costume. I said, that's where he says, it's not a costume. And yeah,
he was great. My favorite was the little, like, 2-year-old. His parents made a little walker, and he had the balloons. He was dressed as the little old man from Up. It was the cutest thing.
He was great.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen a costume that cute in years.
That was very good. Childhood movie, I would say Boogity.
Yeah.
Or Bride of Boogity, which was a Disney Sunday night movie. I'm curious if anyone else out there remembers this this program, and I loved it so much. VHS, we taped it off of television, and we would watch it. I would watch it over and over and over as a child. And when we started dating, it was our first Halloween together. I told you this, and this is prior to Netflix. This is prior to, I mean, YouTube was kind of in its infancy.
Yeah.
It existed, but it wasn't big yet. So it wasn't as easy just to find every obscure thing out there as it is today. You used to have to like really dig for this. And she found somebody on eBay.
I think it was eBay. I don't know. It was some random person.
They had a burned DVD copy of it off of the Disney Sunday Night Movie. And you got me Boogity and Bride of Boogity.
I did.
The two, because it was like a two-part thing. And it was awesome. It was like, okay, I'll marry you right now.
Well, and I felt like that's the least I could do, because the first pumpkin you found was like Labor Day weekend. You found a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And when you brought it over for us to light, it had my engagement ring in
That's
it.
That's true.
Yeah. So
we've always had kind of a Halloweenish
yeah.
thing, like well yeah. before the show even ever began.
Yeah.
But yeah, as an adult, you know, I love the zombie movies. And the thing is, I haven't seen a ton of the more recent ones, just because we're parents and I don't get to go to the movies. But, you know, the I'm excited about the new Halloween. I really love watching kind of the classics because I never really watched those as a kid. Mm-hmm. So some of those are like almost brand new to me. I did watch Halloween as like a teen. I'm rediscovering like the George Romero follow ups, like the Day of the Dead and all that, and going, oh, these are great. Zombie stuff I love. Shaun of the Dead is a good one. Zombie World is a good one. I love those.
You mean Zombie Land?
Zombie Land, yeah.
Yeah, Zombie Land. I want to see World War Z. I've never seen that one.
I've not seen that one either.
But I was just about to say something, it's completely gone. I found my first gray hair today, so it's just full on middle age right now.
You're fucked.
I know.
Got one more caller here. Let 801. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Ivalani. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hey, hi. Welcome to the program. Let's hear your story.
Well, before I start, I just have to say my favorite Halloween movie as a kid was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. as an adult, my favorite one is the Freddy Krueger movies.
We've never watched those.
I still can't do those.
No?
No, that and Jason. But I'll watch Michael Myers all day long. Yeah. I don't know why.
They're really good. But, okay, so my story actually involves where I work. And I'm actually working right now, so it's going to be kind of fun to tell. So I work for a laboratory, and they recently moved me upstairs. And the area that I work is near a hospital, and it's kind of an older area. So the building that I'm in is pretty old, and there's... like the whole area is just old, but anyway, so they moved me upstairs, and I've always gotten a weird, like uncomfortable vibe in this building. So I never really went anywhere by myself because I thought I'd run into someone. So when they moved me upstairs and at night, like right now, I'm the only one up on the top floor. And, there was one night I'd probably been moved up here maybe like 2 weeks, and I heard just a crash. Like, I had my office door open, and it sounded like someone took one of our shelves and just threw it to the floor. Like a huge crash. And I like run out of my office and I go look, and nothing's pushed over. Nothing at all. So I was like, okay, that's a little weird. So I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm like, that's not normal. So I go back to my office, and then a little bit later, I came walking out of my office, and there's a bigger office on the left where the door faces as I'm like walking out. And I got this overwhelming male presence that was pissed that I was here. Like, he was angry that I was here. And I walked out, and as I was walking out and I felt it, I could see something out of the corner of my eye standing in the back corner. And I did like a double take, and I looked because I saw like a shadow darker than the dark, about 6-7 foot tall, standing in the corner. And it was just anger. Just, I could feel it just pushing out of this room, just like, you're in my space. And he was pissed. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to pretend I didn't see it because I don't want to like acknowledge that it's here. So I went walking out to the hall, and as I got to the door to leave, because it's a locked area, I felt him come out of the office come run behind me like he was trying to force me out. Like he was going to follow me out in the hallway. And I turned to look because I could feel something standing right there behind me. And I turned and nobody was there. And I used some colorful metaphors, but I told him to leave me the F alone. And he wasn't allowed to follow me home. And he wasn't allowed to irritate me anymore or bug me or scare me because I wasn't scared of him. And when I walked out and shut the door, the feeling was completely gone. So the weird thing, though, is I came back the next day and the whole floor was fine. I couldn't feel anything. And there's two separate ones up on this floor. There's a male presence in that office, and the other one makes noises, which is a female. And she makes noises to kind of get you on edge, which feeds the other one. But the male comes and goes, like he's not here all the time. Mm-hmm. And after that night, I could still feel him in there and feel him around all the other offices but mine. But I'm the only one that he does not aggravate. Like, he does not bother me anymore, which I find kind of funny that he, like, I can feel him in there and I get uncomfortable, but he knows to, like, stay in there. But, yeah, it was very, the first time I felt, because I've never felt anything that dark, like, that dark and that angry and that just upset at me. And it was just, like, I went home and I just, like, sat in my car for a minute. I was like, okay, I need to make sure. Feel anything before I drive home.
I think it's not everything that is, you know, angry and dark is necessarily demonic.
Yeah.
Quite often you are dealing with a, you know, basically an angry person or a person that would have been cantankerous as a human being. And sometimes they will, you know, still be that on the other side. And that may be what you're dealing with, but they may have found some respect for you, and that's why you're feeling that. Just as you, there can be angry bosses and like, oh my God, I really do not approve of the way you're treating these people, but they really respect you, and you're like, what do you do in those situations?
And it's weird because sometimes to get that respect, you have to do exactly what you did and kind of stand up to them.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably
And I've had to do it a couple times, too.
Yeah. They're probably operating...
Go ahead.
I said they're probably operating from their same MO that they did when we were alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've talked to my husband about it too, because I've recently found out that I'm an empath. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So and it's really bad here at work. Like, I just instantly get stressed when I walk in because I can just feel everybody's like anxiety and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just been interesting that I still have to tell that presence every so often to leave me alone. Sure. So it's not like it's a one and done, like it's every so often. But yeah, I've wanted to call in and share that for a while because it really freaked me out the first time. I was like, that's weird.
Well, I'm glad you were able to call in and share that and kind of get that off your chest. And you know, you're not alone, obviously, in that sort of thing happening. And there's some reasoning to it. So thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us tonight. We really definitely do appreciate that here on Halloween night. And that's going to wrap us up because I have a battery on this computer that I pull over here and it says...
it's about to die.
It's like, you're going to die really soon. So that's going to wrap up our Halloween episode of the night. But that's good. We went well beyond even what I was expecting to do tonight. So thank you guys for calling in and sharing your ghost stories with us. If you like the program, become an EPP extra podcast person because we do this thing year-round. And you get to all those episodes of the show, all 220-something now at ghostpodcast.com, advanced episodes of the program. Everything you get as an EPP for $5 a month. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com and keep us on the air. Thank you for joining us for Halloween tonight. It's been really fun. Yeah. So until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, everybody. Happy Halloween.